Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. With Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, another attack on Aboriginal children. NT government shuts down school for kids in prison. The National Network of Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls call on NT government to immediately reconsider their strategy in relation to children in prison. We need to decarcerate and start investing and keeping children safely in their communities and classrooms. Anything less than absolute betrayal of their future. With that, I'm going to catch up with Yana with Tabitha Lean, organizing member of the National Network of Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls. On the line, we have Tabitha. Good morning, Tabitha. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me on. I'm great. Thanks.
Great. Fantastic. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're talking about, you could say, forming another gap. When we talk about gap, you're talking about government closing down school for kids in prison. This will take away a foundation of an individual's future. Good people just doing bad things need a chance to grow and inspire for a vision for their own future. And a school is a nice foundation, but not the case in regard to government's thoughts. Yep.
Oh, absolutely. And Trevor, we're talking about children here, like actual children as young as 10 years old. And what the government are doing, a part of the Northern Territory government's plan, is to relocate these children from Alice Springs to Darwin as part of their corrections infrastructure master plan. So what they're looking at doing is transferring all the children from Alice Springs to Darwin, which is, 1,500 kilometres from their community, their family support, essential health and cultural services. And in the process of doing that, they have now closed down the school, Owen Springs Education Facility. So they've closed down the education facility that these children were accessing, where they had built trusted relationships with their teachers, where they were highly engaged in their schooling and working hard. And we're talking children as young as 10 years
old. So we're talking about being transferred to another school in Darwin. Is it a school or is it a prison or a detention centre?
Oh, they certainly haven't been given any sort of confirmation that that's what was going to happen. All we've been told at the moment is that the Owen Springs Education Facility has been closed.
So not talking about, talking about moving goalposts, but not even letting you know where the goalposts are and what is the goalpost, so to speak. So all up in the air.
Correct. It was really just an abrupt closure of the school, and it's nothing short of disgraceful.
Sure.
These kids are having their lives disrupted by the system, and now they're being forcibly relocated to Darwin without any meaningful consultation with their families or communities.
And look, when we're talking about education, look, it's a must. We are talking about the 21st century, are we not, Tabitha, education is an ingredient and is a right for a human being. Well, especially when you're talking about a first world country, Australia, but it seems like not the case for Northern Territory government.
Absolutely. It is everybody's right, every child's human right to have access to education. So what we are essentially doing is depriving these children of their human rights. And let's face it, the reality is the Northern Territory government imprisons overwhelmingly Aboriginal children. So right now the Northern Territory government is depriving Aboriginal children at a higher rate than non-Aboriginal children their right to education. And that is a direct breach of these children's human rights. And that's what we're saying. This is the government showing yet again that they are more interested in punishment of Aboriginal children than they are in supporting. And this is a very deliberate choice by this government, and it must be condemned.
So what I'm picking up is they're not looking at these children as children. Point blank, they're looking at them as criminals.
Absolutely.
You know?
And how can we possibly do that? How can we expect children to see a future for themselves, to see a possible re-entry into community and a way to get on with their lives if we are not showing them support and love and care and investing in them? How can we expect children to do that if we are not investing in their future? And an education is a really good way to start. And what we know of the Owen Springs Education Facility is it was a lifeline to these children.
Mm.
It offered them trauma-informed therapeutic approaches to education. And what we know is the kids were really engaged with their learning. They had a real trust with the educators, and they were developing skills to create a different future for themselves. And now that lifeline's just been severed without warning.
And when we're talking about education, but we're also talking about not only formal education, but also life education in regarding a life, a vision, a future. And we live in the luckiest country in the world, you know what I mean? If you've got a foundation or a vision as such and you get that education, it can transfer your thought and your process and your vision and turn into reality of being somebody or doing something good with your life.
Oh, absolutely. And what this just shows us is this country isn't lucky for everyone. That's the reality, right?
Okay, yeah.
Like when you go to prison, you are treated as a disposable human. And that's what we're telling these children right now, is that we do not believe enough in you to invest in you. We do not believe enough in you to provide you with an education. And that's not acceptable.
Sure.
It is not acceptable in this day and age, in this country, that we are depriving children as young as 10 in the Northern Territory of an education. That is their right, that is their human right, and that's our obligation as adults to do that. And the other thing I would say is that the Northern Territory government has a duty of care as well as a duty to care for every one of its citizens.
Yes.
And to not provide a duty of care or a duty to care is a gross abrogation of their responsibility to all their citizens, because every one of those children in prison right now is one of the citizens of that territory.
Exactly.
And they have a responsibility to those children. Just because they're in prison does not mean that they do not have rights that should be upheld.
Well, if they're detained on their own country, then they've got access to family to come see them. And that's a part of the good ingredient for their growth, for their vision as well. Now, if you take them off country and go to another person country, and sometimes the family can't get there, well, it makes it hard. And then the foundation of their vision for their future and action for their future, it makes a non-existent, you could say.
Absolutely, and that's one of our major concerns about the relocating of the children from Alice Springs to Darwin. 1,500 kilometres away from their community, their family and their country.
Sure.
I mean, that's so far. I have children myself, I don't know about you, but I could not imagine being that far away from my children.
Yep.
And then, you know, how are parents or family members or kin expected to travel that far to visit their children? The reality is they're not going to be able to. That is the reality for our children in the territory.
Thank you. And where's the ingredient to empower or to strengthen these kids for their future? I mean, like, then you create the so-called revolving door. They go out of prison, back into prison, because of the fact that the foundation isn't strong. You cannot build an empire on sand, I would say, Tabitha.
Exactly. And that's why as a national network, we've been calling on the Northern Territory government to reconsider their strategy. We do not want children in prisons.
Mm.
We need to start decarcerating. We should not be remanding children in prison. They are not yet found guilty of a crime.
Yes.
Let's start investing in solutions that keep children safely in their communities and their classrooms.
Sure.
We should not be caging children who have not been found guilty of a crime. Like, overwhelmingly, the amount of kids in prison have not yet been found guilty, yet they're being deprived of education, of their liberty, of their country, of their family. It's appalling.
It is. And Tabitha, you look at the 5 years, 7 years, 10 years down the track, these young ones with their training, the education, what have you, and being close to their family while being detained, and they become successful in their future, what have you, then they become mentors for other youth coming through the so-called process, you know what I mean, and prevent them from being and heading down the same tracks. I mean, that's another ingredient as well, you would say.
Absolutely. And, you know, governments across the country, as you would know, are very quick to blame Aboriginal families. Well, the education departments in governments are very quick to blame Aboriginal families for, you know, student absenteeism or lack of engagement in education programs. Yet right now, the Northern Territory government is disrupting children's access to education, which, as you say, is going to have an impact on the kids long term.
Sure. Exactly.
You know, if we disrupt kids' education at this point and we're constantly moving them around, we're picking them up from one place and moving them like they're cattle.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like they're just picking them up wholesale and moving them somewhere else, disrupting their education, incarcerating them here, locking them up. What does that mean for them long term? What does that mean for their opportunities and their access to further education? Or what do these children aspire to be when they grow up? And what is, you know, what does that mean for the choices that they want to make in terms of their education or access to ongoing schooling?
Well,
we're really depriving these kids of the future because absolutely, because this country has a black past, but it also has a black future, and we have to invest in that future.
Well, the old phrase takes a village to raise a child, and government is part of the village, are they not? You know,
unfortunately, they are.
Yeah, Tabitha, nice talking with you. And look, this is a national program. Government do listen to the program. So here it is. We're having our yarn, putting the statement out there. Tabitha, thank you very much. Big shout out to your team. Keep doing what you're doing. We'll yarn soon, sis.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care. Bye bye. There it is, a deadly yarn, beautiful yarn with Tabitha Lean, her name is, organising member of the National Network of Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls, and talking about the National Network of Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls, calling NT government to immediately reconsider their strategy in relation to children in prison. We need to decarcerate and start investing in keeping children safely in their communities and classrooms, and lessen an absolute betrayal of their future. You can have your say, Yarn Up Strong, here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the boy around here. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Coming to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. As BBM Bumbleboot Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn Up Strong, you mob, too deadly. National Talk Black.
what your rule is. You know, thousand politicians couldn't change my ways. Lord of the sea and the pull of the sun and the moon, down in my lane by the water, my lane.
National Talk Black.
lies over, then be green. My money lies under the sea. Si, qualca paleja.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. Coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to the NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, First Nations and Charles Darwin University CDU research project dives deeper into plight of Northern Australian turtles, whales and dolphins. A comparison of aerial surveys of Green Island green turtle nests between the 1990s and 2024 shows a decline in turtle nesting sites on Croke Island. A new research project with First Nations rangers and Charles Darwin University is now looking a little deeper. With that, we're going to catch up and have a yarn with Dr. Carol Palmer, Senior Research Associate of CDU's Research Institute for the Environment and Livelihoods, REAL, that is. Dr. Carol, good morning. How are you?
Oh, very good, Trevor, and thank you so much for letting us have a chat about this. It's so important to talk about this.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's good to have First Nation people at the table as well. When we talk about existence of 60,000 years, we would have a bit of knowledge in all areas, you could say, in life, and it's great that we are at the table in regard to the marine world and talking about the beautiful livelihood of dolphins, whales and turtles.
You bet, and also I think what's been so great with the project that we're doing, which is a team project, for the last 4 years and this year, working on Croker from the Commonwealth Marine Parks funding, but we always have been working in remote islands across the top end and coastal areas of the traditional owners and rangers.
Sure.
And for us, that's been, you know, the most important work, and working together and being able to get all the traditional owners, the Aboriginal rangers, information on, well, and when, you talk on about, their sea country.
Yeah, exactly. And when you were talking about doctors or marine biologists or whatever the case may be, they then become students when they're talking with the traditional owners who've got a knowledge in the cultural sense, you could say.
Yep, and also I think too, it's really important that just to be able to catch up work, and we do boat surveys where we love sea country and, you know, doing boats and, you know, boat work and all that kind of thing, but also that we can talk about traditional science and Western science, and having that face-to-face contact works so much better than, you know, looking at science papers and all that kind of thing.
But we are students for life, are we not, Dr. Carroll?
Yes, that's it. And also, I think, you know, there's so much that the traditional owners know about their sea country and sacred sites. And if I could just say, too, over the last 4 or 5 years with all the work we've done in the remotest areas, it's the first time in the NT and parts of Australia too that we've been able to undertake this fantastic work. And what has come up is that all the traditional owners and traditional rangers that we've worked with have flagged sea level rise, sea temp, erosion, and the nesting temperature on the beaches, if they can still get up to where had been their old nesting sites, is getting hotter and hotter. So, yes, we're all really worried about the future and the number of male green turtles, because it's got so hot in these nesting areas on the beaches.
Dr. Carroll, really would you look at global climate coming to at the table in that conversation?
Sorry, could you say that again?
Sorry, I'm talking about in regard to the ramification of global climate.
Yes, it's kicked in, and certainly for, you know, where you live in North Queensland, and where we are in the top end, and, you know, the Kimberley, we are seeing lots of changes.
Yes.
And it's getting hotter and hotter too on the land level, but on the sea side, yes, we are seeing changes. And so we are all really worried, and we just really want to help look after and improve the traditional owners' amazing sea country, islands and land.
Yes, and the traditional owners' input is a good ingredient in regarding protecting these beautiful species, yes?
Yes, and what, you know, certainly from a really easy perspective, we do boat surveys. Our sea country, or the sea country, traditional owner's sea country here, is not as clear as, you know, the east and west coast. It's a very bit of a different world, and we've got sort of the shallowest waters and, well, the biggest tides apart from parts of the Kimberley here. So it can be quite tricky sometimes to record species. But what we've always acknowledged is that many of the traditional rangers that we've worked with, they have way, way, way better eyesight than I do. And I've been here doing this work for about 30 years.
Yes, yes.
And they have, and that's very important to acknowledge, and that they know the country, the sea country, so well.
Well, we talk about teamwork makes a dream work, and it's good to have everybody at the table. It's so very important. And thank you for sharing. It's a powerful space, and working it, we're getting it together, you would say, Dr. Carroll.
Yes, and we've got lots to still keep doing.
Yes.
And, it's so important. And hopefully we are bottom of the pile here in the NT compared to many parts of the east, south, southern parts of Australia.
Yeah.
But hopefully we can get the funding to keep working together with these remote rangers, traditional owners, and bringing in both the Western science and the traditional science information, and pulling it together in a way that works.
Well, thank you very much for sharing. Big shout out to your team, and big shout out to the traditional owners working alongside you. All the best, and we'll keep in touch and yarn soon.
Thank you, and sincere thanks, and all the best, hey.
Thank you, Dr. Carroll. Bye-bye.
Bye.
deadly yarn there. That's Dr. Carol Palmer, a Senior Research Associate at CDU's and Charles Darwin University Research Institute for Environment and Livelihoods, REAL, and talking about diving deeper into the plight of Northern Australia's turtles, whales and dolphins, and working closely with the First Nation people as well, the traditional owners. Great to see you. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black.
Yeah. Thinking about uni or TAFE, but unsure what study will be like? You're not alone. Plenty of our mob found the course they want and the support they were looking for at CQ University. Thanks to campus locations across the country, as well as dedicated Indigenous support staff who are there to welcome, guide, and listen. See it, be it. We know you can. Start your journey at CQ Uni today.
Station sponsor.
Hey you mob, did you know Child's World Early Learning Centre's free kindergarten approved program has been nurturing growth and learning for over 30 years with early childhood education for children aged from 6 weeks to kindergarten? To find out more, get in contact at 4045 4045.
Station sponsor.
National Talk Black.
Marasound, Marasound Productions. When I was a young boy, I used to ask my old man, Daddy, can you learn me Badu song? They say, wah, wah, you no forget my boy, you lack them Badu man. I say, hey, speak, I go sing you this song. This song is called the German March.
Oh,
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bummerbib Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, now, Gugoma, the Queensland Art Gallery, Gallery of Modern Art, announced its 2025 program. With that, I'm going to catch up a yarn with Sophia Sambono, Curator of Contemporary Australian Indigenous Art, and have Sophia on the line. Sophia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Great. Thanks.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So here we are, New Year 2025. And the Queensland Art Gallery, Gallery of Modern Art, announcing their 2025 program. So what's in store for this year in this beautiful space?
Yeah, it's very exciting. So within the Australian Indigenous Art Collection, I have three shows coming up this year. Mm-hmm. Coming up first is installing right now and opening on the 15th of March is a show by Dani Mello, who's Najonji, Mamu and Anglo-Celtic ancestry. So his mum's and grandma's country is the Atherton Tablelands.
Yes.
Up in Far North Queensland where you are. And so he's we're installing that show right now. It's called Maru, the Unseen Visible.
Yes.
And Maru is becoming visible in the Djirribal language. So what he's exploring through mostly paintings but also photography and a projection work, like a video work, is exploring history and representing history, through works that examine like memory, remembrance, relationships between First Nations people, culture and country, the environment and the social impact of colonial history.
Yes.
Yep.
And when we talk art, are we talking paintings telling the stories as such?
What he does is take archival photographs.
Okay.
And then photographs he's taken while up on country. So a lot of the works that we're seeing in this show are new and recent works. The very new works are in response to recent visits that he took up to Atherton with working with his elders up there to take new photos of country, to talk about those archival images that he's found in the archives, and then tell stories that challenge our accepted ideas of history through imagery. So like a lot of collective memory and collective history knowing that we have like as a society is based on imagery from that time.
Yeah.
So when we think about history, those images that were taken by settlers and colonial mob and like paintings they did impact people's ideas of history. So what
so in a very powerful vehicle, and like we are storytellers, and here we have Daniel Mello delivering it through this format. So fantastic.
Absolutely. And he creates this dialogue both between photographs and the painted image that examines that accepted authority of archival photography and the role it has in shaping our collective perceptions of history, but also like tells these new stories. So presents new ways of looking at history,
yes,
visualizing the unseeable and unseen. So part of his practice is like bringing those two types of bring the archival imagery in with some new photographs he's taken to just shift the lens and talk about history in a different way. Some of the works that he has, he does through infrared photographic technology.
Yes.
In an attempt to visualize like this other dimension to the rainforest, to visualize kind of that power in the place when we go out to country and when we go out to the rainforest,
yes,
like revealing the hidden elements and dimensions in this by capturing this wavelength.
Seems very
of light
spiritual, that, doesn't it, Sophie?
Yeah, he does. Like that's what he's trying to do with that, like this other wavelength of light that we can't see with our human eyes, like bringing that, trying to visualize that other layer, that like the zone of memory of spirit and dreaming is how he describes it. And that's included, like he uses a lot of infrared in this new video work that will be in this space too, called Dark Star Waterfall, and like it's this investigation of like kind of history and layering in those images of country and layering in those elements of both archival and infrared photography and yeah, they're very centered around country. So within his work, it's like underpins all of his explorations and positions the landscape and the recording of it as like the center of the creation of historical narratives and the experience and understanding of space. He also presents like an idea instead of landscape as land space is kind of his way of encapsulating the ideas of presenting country in a way that layers in different perspectives of country that's like oppositional to this historical colonial idea, like away from possession and ownership, the way that like a colonial view of country is, and then encompassing that complex laid understandings of what country means to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Beautiful. When does the exhibition kick off,
Sophie? 15th of March, so next weekend.
Next weekend, okay. Yeah. And going for how long?
It goes for, I think it goes for about, sorry, I don't have that in
sure.
front of me.
And that's where, that's at the Art Gallery?
There, yeah, Queensland Art Gallery.
Brisbane.
Yep. Yes, in
lovely.
Brisbane.
So if you're going down to watch a Broncos game, go and catch up with this fantastic art.
Oh, absolutely.
Lovely talking with you. Thank you very much for sharing. Big shout out to your team. Doing fantastic work. Please do keep in touch. And big shout out to Deadly Artists. Especially and Danny Mello coming from up this way, Mummy Lad.
Yeah.
But all the best to you, yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you were down, say, around the time of State of Origin.
Sure.
We also have another show opening called Great and Small Kindred Creatures of the Indigenous Australian Art Collection, which focuses on the role animals play in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture.
Yes.
Just their role as being like central to survival of the food source, but also like absorbed into lore and culture as images of totemic power and ancestral creation stories that link people, land, and animals. And this show, Great and Small, is like a celebration of those connections, featuring artwork from our collection here at Quagoma. And we'll feature many far north Queensland artists, which I'll just...
I see Tia Ropium here mentioned.
Yes. Yeah, Naomi Hobson.
Yes. Fantastic.
Dan Coopy.
Lovely.
Sculpture work for the Arakoon Camp Dogs will be in there, and just different ways of representing animals from around Australia and having that conversation between those different companion animals, different types of dogs from everywhere, and really telling those stories, like with Dan Coopy's ceramics, like those ancestor stories that she's inscribed into her pots.
We've got a web page that people can have a look at?
There'll be a brief write-up on the Quagoma web page,
okay,
but this one's opening in June. So,
Date claimers. It's in the State of Origin. There it is.
Yeah,
kick some goals, go to the art.
You know, I don't know if it's going to be here in Brisbane, but I'm sure there'll be games around that time. Yeah.
Hey, thank you for the yarn, Sophia. All the best to you and your team. Great work, and we'll yarn soon.
Thanks, Trevor.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Quagoma, the Queensland Art Gallery, Gallery of Modern Art, announces 2025 program. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn Up Strong here, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbabit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. So Yarn Up Strong, National Talk Black, too deadly.